Okay, you're live.
Well, welcome everyone to another episode of WA This Week. Look, to make up for not doing one last week, we've gone a little bit earlier this week cover a couple of topics. Look, first up, coming back to a topic we visited a couple of times, is the Aboriginal Cultural Heritage Act. You know, the government made a great announcement a couple of weeks back. They were backflipping just 5 weeks after they'd introduced the regulations for the new act that had come in, and that they were going to withdraw that act. Now, that bill has been introduced into Parliament, and just a couple of details about this. One, the old act still exists, or the new act, as we probably now call it, still exists. So that's still in force. And I do want to talk a little bit about that, just in relation to the government's claim of a so-called light touch while they're sorting all of this out, because what we're seeing is anything but a light touch. But that new act exists. And look, as we saw in the old act, the devil is always in the detail, not just in the act itself. The 72 Aboriginal Cultural Heritage Act, in fact, could be used to severely infringe private property rights in areas where people wouldn't imagine that Aboriginal cultural heritage would impede their activities. So it's not necessarily solving the problem that has really arisen and come to the fore with this new act coming into force. But of course, for the new or reverting, as they say, to the old act, they're going to make some changes to that act itself. But of course, they're going to introduce a whole raft of new regulations, and that's where the devil's in the detail. Now, look, Minister Booty has said, and I trust him at his word, that we will get to see those regulations before they come in. But we need to look at that very, very carefully. And, the reality is, as I've said, the 72 Act itself had very onerous powers. And look, I want to take you to a current issue coming out of this. Remember I mentioned, the government's claim that they would have a light touch when they're introducing these new regulations and otherwise would handle this area sensitively. Well, what do we see? There's a report in the Western Australian on the 17th of August, and I'm not going to name the individual because I feel deeply sorry for the person that's involved in this. Wanneroo City Council wanted to have some fire breaks dealt with, or at least, the fire breaks renewed around an area of land. This has been done many, many, many times before. They engaged with a private contractor to plough those fire breaks and to clear those fire breaks. They went ahead and did the work. Guess what? They're now in court being prosecuted by two government departments with a potential for a $250,000 fine because they carried out fire break work on behalf of Wanneroo Council at the behest of Wanneroo Council, but apparently the claim is that they didn't get clearance for Aboriginal cultural heritage, or there was no Aboriginal cultural heritage there, before they did that work. I mean, this is just ludicrous. We've had Minister Booty and the Premier in Parliament saying, look, nothing to worry about, whether it was the old act or the new act, nothing to worry about. If you're doing what you've done before, you've got nothing to worry about. Well, this is just a small family business. This will send them broke, destroy their business if this goes ahead. Doing something that a council's asked them to do. The council's not in court. They're in court. This poor guy and his family are going through a nightmare, facing up to $250,000 fine. And it's the state government agencies that have done this. So much for a light touch. You know, this is a joke. And, well, it's not a joke. This is terrible. And it's a catastrophe for that poor family that are being put through this nightmare of facing court. And it just illustrates the perils, and certainly something I'll be looking at very, very closely as we consider this new bill, because we shouldn't be seeing Aboriginal cultural heritage effectively remove the property rights of people who are on freehold title. And, again, listen to the words people used. I heard Ben Wyatt on the news today now a well-paid executive with various mining companies and on boards, and also on the board of the Eagles. But Ben Wyatt was saying, well, you know, it was a bit of a muck-up, the last one, but hey, guess what? We can achieve all of what we wanted to achieve with the old act. So clearly there's a plan afoot here. They're not really, they're just going to play with some wording here, but we're going to end up with the same outcome that we had under that so-called new act. So I'm extremely dubious about that. The Attorney General Quigley said the same thing, and that is, oh, look, we can achieve the same outcome using the old act with a few changes and these new regulations they're going to bring in. I am extremely concerned about this because, you know, our problem with that original or that so-called new act and the regulations that came out, it was going to, one, turn people who were going about their normal business, turn them into criminals facing enormous penalties, and otherwise interfere with activities and grind approval for doing things to a halt. I mean, just imagine, you know, if you can't, you know, do fire breaks and the like and prepare for the fire season without getting clearance from some Aboriginal group. I mean, that's ridiculous, you know, and that will grind that process to a halt as well. And of course, what we see with all of this is that it gets monetized, and that is that people have to be paid money for those approvals and to do those inspections and so on. So, you know, this is really concerning to me. I feel deeply, you know, sorry for that poor family that are facing this court action, you know, and pretty disappointing. I might say that Wanneroo Council didn't step in and say, you know what, this is on us, and who have left that poor family business to they're still facing, they went to court. This, the report in the West was on the Thursday, the 17th of August. So I hope the minister intervenes and gets his departments to back off on this. This is appalling. Just other things of concern. You would have seen recently median rental for houses in Perth has hit $600. And what we're seeing is a greater and greater percentage of our population is being forced into rental. And why is that? Because people that in any time previous, in the past decades, you know, going back to, you know, probably the 1950s or 1940s, you know, an ordinary person doing an ordinary job could expect to buy a house and live in a house. And that was true. I think I've said in this forum before, you know, look, when I was a sort of a, you know, junior public servant, I bought a house in Swanbourne with my wife. And you know, I was not a big income, but I could go in and buy that house. Now, I know that you might say there's relative scarcity for these sort of coastal properties, and that's true, but the spikes we've seen in house prices right across Australia and in Western Australia are directly due to failure of government. And there are a couple of things that are making housing very expensive, and hence forcing so many people into rental accommodation. And that is, one, there is no land available for developing houses, and we've got a handful of individuals who control all of the property for housing development in Perth. So they're doing very nicely, getting record prices for that land. This is not a new problem. It happened back in the 70s in Western Australia. The government of the day, the court government, went out, worked with developers. I mean, property developers aren't bad people. They're just trying to make a buck. I don't blame them for trying to make a buck. However, he worked with those property developers, released more land, and made sure that part of the developer's suite of products that they were offering were affordable housing for people on lower income, so that everyone, you know, everyone who had a job and was working could have the opportunity to buy their own home, somewhere to raise their family. You know, we've got this ridiculous situation now in Western Australia with all the land we've got of people being forced into extremely expensive apartments because there's no housing available. The state government can do something about this, and they can do a lot about the prices. Do you know, it takes around a year for Western Power to connect a new development into the electricity grid. And imagine that. So that property developer is carrying the cost of all of that development work for an extra year. Something that literally used to take weeks is now taking over a year because Western Power can't connect properties quickly enough. That's in the control of the Minister of Energy, the Honourable Bill Johnson, to fix, and the Premier to fix. That would reduce the cost of property. But it's true for all of the government agencies. The cost of headworks into connecting water and sewerage are prohibitive and are adding to the cost of property. So, yep, you know, I might have a bit of a dig at property developers at times, but the property developers are facing an enormous range of hurdles from government that is adding to the cost of the development. And what happens? That gets passed on to the price of new homes, and that means that a lot of people just can't afford them. And, you know, they're having to rent apartments for a family when actually what they want is a house. So, you know, this state government is just failing. And, you know, what do we see then? So the state government have completely failed to build enough social housing. In fact, you know, as I pointed out to you before, they demolished, they took, 1,300 social houses out of the system when they came into government. And they've only just, I think, reached the point of replacing those, but they haven't been doing their job in replacing social housing. So what are they doing? They're out in the market, spot purchasing existing homes, competing with you. I mean, imagine that. So you've got the government out there forcing up house prices because they're competing with ordinary families who are trying to buy a home, somewhere to live, spot purchasing for social housing. Now, look, yes, as I said, I want an increase in social housing, but the government should be doing that by increasing the stock of housing. That would help everyone. Instead, they're doing it in a way that's competing with you and making housing unaffordable. And I will say, especially for young people, we've got a generation of kids coming through, you know, they're getting married or, you know, starting a family, and they can't buy a home, and that's just wrong. You know, that is a complete failure of government policy, and this Labor government is made a bad situation worse with their own actions. Look, just a couple of other topics. The Voice, I've spoken about it a few times, but we're coming up. October 14 is the vote date. Look, you know my view on this, and I'm just fascinated to hear the gobbledygook that's coming out from the Yes camp and others. And they love to focus on this idea that somehow or other this will make a difference to the lives of Aboriginal people. It will make no difference whatsoever. I think there's something like 18 different Aboriginal organisations in Canberra right now, including a multi-billion-dollar funded ministerial or a group that actually are there to consult directly with the Prime Minister. They've got a multi-billion-dollar budget to consult directly with the Prime Minister. There will be no more communication than we're seeing now to Canberra. You're simply going to have a body, another bureaucratic body there. But as I pointed out to you many times, my big concern is that this is going to, because it's in the Constitution, because it's another section in the Constitution, this will introduce a barrier to developments right across Australia and the economy right across Australia. So it's going to harm the Australian economy. It's not going to help Aboriginal people at all. It's purely illusory in that regard. A group of individuals who are largely already in Canberra will simply have another role, and we're still going to see the dysfunction. You know, if government wants to deal with issues in Aboriginal communities, what I'd suggest is they do what I do. Get out there, have a look, see what's going on, and then put the resources into them, because the resources exist, but they're simply not in the places where they're needed. And, you know, we're only going to defeat this referendum if you get out and vote, and if you get out and vote no. So please, look, talk to your mates, talk to your friends. Now's the time to really arc this up. But above all, please vote. Because if all the no people think this campaign is lost and they stay home, then we're going to get the worst result. Now, this, I think that's going to harm Australia. And as I've said, it's not the Australia I want my kids to live in. I want my kids to live in a society where everyone's equal, not where we have special groups hived off with special rights in our society. Health, just a quick one, but I see the nurses' union have said they're going to start their own political organisation, you know, and you can understand their frustration. And it's a frustration with Labor. Labor have completely failed on health in this state in every possible measure. You can look at any metric in health, whether it's waiting list for surgeries, you know, the ambulance ramping we've spoken about on a number of times, real impacts on real people that they've failed on. And, you know, I want to reflect a little bit. Perhaps the nurses' union, maybe they'd be better putting their strong support behind the Liberal Party at the next election, because in fact, the record is really, really clear on this. The Liberal Party is the, and with our national colleagues, the coalition, is the only group that actually deals with these health issues properly. I mean, you know, when Labor came into power at the last election in 2017, ambulance ramping at 1,000 hours. Now, we didn't think that was acceptable, and certainly we were criticised by Labor. But when we're up at 5,000 and 6,000 hours under Labor, that dimensions their failure, and that's parallel everywhere. So the truth is that the Liberal government made the massive capital investment, 3 brand new tertiary hospitals in 8 years, and was dealing with those health issues in the way they should be dealt with properly. We had the highest paid nurses, the highest paid doctors in Australia, because we treated our medical professionals with respect, unlike Labor. They've dragged them, and I think are still dragging them through the industrial process in relation to pay rise. So, you know, the truth is that the Liberal National Coalition is the party that looks after the health of Western Australians, and this Labor Party is failing you all. Look, I'll end there on that strident note, and really happy for any questions or queries that people have. Otherwise, thank you very much for listening. And, you know, don't forget you can subscribe to the podcast. Just look up Dr. David Honey, and please do that. Look, and also share with your friends, get the message out so that, you know, we can get the right message out across a broader group of people. And otherwise, thank you very much for listening.
All right. Yes, many questions today. Well, we'll start with a comment. Linda says on Facebook, no one can afford to pay $600 a week. That's ridiculous. Too many homeless. It's a real issue. It used to be a lucky country. Now we're lucky if we can afford to have a house and food on the table.
Linda, you're spot on. And look, you know, I've got 6 kids, and look, they've all different, you know, abilities and income and so on. There, I've got one at home, or one in school at least still, but the rest are sort of out in the world. And one out of that 6 owns a house. And despite having good jobs and the like, and the reality is, and this is the real tragedy, we've got a whole generation of younger people coming through. You know, I mean, I was 30 when we bought our, my wife and I bought our first home. And I always thought I could. I always thought that was a reasonable expectation, and that was true of all of my friends, you know. And the truth is that someone who's in the same situation as I was, at that age and has the same sort of job that I had, simply they would be struggling to pay $600 a week rent and then just wouldn't be able to buy a home. And look, I have people, different times, people who are sort of in the property area, they go, oh yeah, look at this, and they'll scroll through screen after screen and they'll find a property in some far-flung corner of the city and say, oh, this is, you know, so many dollars. But the truth is, and you know it, you know, you can't get homes. And boy, rental properties. I had one of my kids, you know, looking to move rental properties because they were pretty unhappy with in the house they were in, although they were glad to have it, but they were looking for somewhere else. It was a nightmare. And in the end, even though, you know, the government's got rid of this thing of people, asking for extra money and so on, the truth is that what people are having to do, and it's, you know, overwhelmingly younger people, but not exclusively, a lot of people who are, you know, do it tough, single parents and the like, they're having to offer extra money above the asking price to get it because there's 50 people looking for the same place. This is appalling. It's a straight government failure. This is a failure of government to look after. The fact is, if you're like I was, you know, just a low-level public servant, you know, it wasn't on some super salary, you should be able to buy a house. It should be affordable. And I get sick and tired of the comparisons of Western Australia with the eastern states. The whole of Australia is unaffordable, and housing in Western Australia is massively unaffordable, and rentals are massively unaffordable, and the government needs to do something proper about it, not tinker around the edges.
Hang on. Well, you do have questions from TikTok, but it seems we might TikTok might have just taken down your stream. I'm not sure. But I'll try and ask it. All right. Sorry, now I have to relook for it.
Oh, that's okay.
Okay. On TikTok, Emu Lord asks, when are you going? Well, you told me to ask you all the questions, even the hard questions. Okay. When are you getting the leadership back from Libby? She doesn't have what it takes.
Look, Libby's doing a fantastic job, and I made it clear with the leadership change. I mean, we don't ping-pong this around, and my colleagues, you know, collectively made up their mind that they thought there should be a change, and I made it really clear that I'm just 100% behind helping Libby do her job. She's a great person, She's got a great political mind, and my job is to do everything I can to make sure that she can get elected as the leader of our state at the next election, and that's what I'm working hard to do. So, we're not going to sort of go down this path of having constant changes.
Sandra on Facebook says, what idiots do we have running WA, buying houses instead of building them?
Look, just imagine, you know, and the governor out boasting about this, saying, oh, we're providing more social housing. Look, you know, you got to say factually that's true, but all they're doing is buying existing homes. I mean, and as I said, they're competing against you. So all those dear people, you know, that would want to buy their own home should be able to buy their own home in any normal world. Any other part of the world, you'd be buying a home in your same position. And you can't do it because the government's adding fuel to the fire by competing against you for housing. But it's just a joke. And, you know, the government hasn't seriously dealt with this. And, of course, you know, well, I might just add a little kick here. So we've got a state Labor government. We've got 14 Labor MPs in federal parliament. Federal Labor is cutting skilled migration to the state of Western Australia. Cutting it. It's at about one quarter of the level that we need. And we've got this Cook Labor government that says that they've got a special relationship with Canberra. We've got 14 utterly useless Federal Labor members of parliament. Utterly, I'll tell you how useless they are. They're so useless that the Cook Labor government have said they're going to build an embassy in Canberra to represent Western Australia. Just imagine. You've got 14 Federal Labor members of parliament so useless that the state government is going to have to build an embassy and staff it and spend your money to actually get their voice heard in Canberra. I mean, we need that skilled labor here as well.
Yeah. Linda asks again, what are your solutions?
A good number of solutions. We've got a very good planning shadow in our Liberal Party, Honourable Neil Thompson, and actually for the opposition, he's in that shadow role. There are a number of things you have to do. One, seriously deal with the government departments and delays. And I share the frustration that the developers have. As I say, I'm happy to give them a prick bat, but I'm equally happy to try and help them as well, and that is these ridiculous delays in planning approvals. Where you've got a scheme that covers an area, then if it complies with that scheme, then planning approvals should be straightforward. I don't agree with planning approvals where you're going outside the approved scheme use for the area. That's a big problem in my area. But then for all of those government services, main roads, developers tell me there's a major problem with main roads, making road connections to properties. You know, we've got this ridiculous one-year wait for electricity connection to a development, but also water, sewerage, there are other delays, and the costs of them are huge. So government can help with that. And the other one is make more land available. The truth is in Perth, there's much more land available that could be developed, and there's been an artificial restriction on land availability in Perth. For housing, that would immediately drop the price of all new housing if you made more land available because there's such competition for a limited amount. Then the other one is, which I've said in this forum before, is let's get serious about regional development. The truth is, you know, and I'll give you an example. In Kalgoorlie today, there are 3,000 jobs that require essentially no qualification other than you can spell your own name and stand upright. I mean, these are they're important jobs, but they don't require special training or special degrees or special certificates. 3,000 in Kalgoorlie. And I think there's, 60 new homes or something being built in Kalgoorlie this year or some such. I could stand corrected on the number. It's some ridiculously small number. Then that's true in Geraldton. It's true in Karratha. It's true in Port Hedland as well. So what we're not seeing is a proper investment in regional development, because if we did that, it'd take the pressure off Perth. And a lot of families want to live in regional areas, but one, they need somewhere to live. There are plenty of jobs and no shortage of jobs in regional Western Australia. In fact, from one end of the state to the other, from Cunnamulla to Albany, there are a huge number of jobs and vacancies available. But typically people have got nowhere to live, But then they want it to be safe. They want access to good medical services. They want access to good educational facilities. So, you know, and they're all directly in the control of the state government. So, and that's something we'll absolutely focus on, is really building those regional areas so you've got a real option. Yeah, you can choose to be in Perth if you want to, but also you can choose to have a fantastic life out in these regional communities with your family, in a good job, living in your own house where it's safe and you've got access to good government services.
Matthew on YouTube asks, what are your thoughts to improve education to have people be able to move industry?
Yeah, look, I think it's, and I know that's, there is some good retraining available. And look, the state government, oh, you know, so I like to dish out the, perhaps the criticism at times, that's the job of opposition. But equally, you know, the state government have made access to TAFE cheaper with reducing fees and some free fees. So there's some good options there for people working in that at that certificate level. So I think there's pretty good opportunities for that. But of course, for a lot of jobs, you know, a lot of employers, and look, I worked in industry for 24 years before I came into Parliament 6 years ago. A lot of the time, it's the quality of the person as much as any qualification for changing jobs. But and look, especially where the government is shutting down industries, obviously government's got a direct responsibility to sponsor retraining. And again, I'll give the government credit in Collie, for example, where they're shutting down the coal-fired power station. Now, you know, I think that the speed they're doing that is stupid and it's going to cause problems. Nevertheless, they do have some good retraining schemes and some support for that in the area. And certainly I support that. And as a coalition government, that's certainly something we'd continue to support.
What is the role of green tape in restricting?
Yeah, look, it's pretty significant, and I might say now, you know, we've talked, you know, a fair bit about Aboriginal cultural heritage, but that is now going to, the spectrum of that has just risen enormously, so you're going to see a huge amount of focus, and what is quite clear from this court case that's in front of the court now under the Cook Labor government's so-called light touch, there's going to be a lot more activity in that space, whether it's under the new act or the old act, and remembering the new act still exists and still in force. So that's going to be an area, but certainly the environmental approvals. And can I say, watch out for the federal Labor Party. I mean, I might criticise our local Labor Party, and I don't think they're very sharp on a whole range of things. Boy, federal Labor are a bunch of green left extremists. And just have a look at them, listen to what they say. I'd encourage you, you know, it's a bit dull sometimes, but go and listen to what they talk about in Parliament. I mean, this is, it's like another world when you hear them speak, because they live in this, this sort of other world where the realities of life don't dawn upon them. They are looking at all sorts of legislation at the federal level, and in particular, really taking over all environmental approval from the state. That's very, very clear coming out of the federal Labor government. So this is going to be a huge issue, but it still is a significant problem. Look, I talk to miners. Miners tell me that if you go and find, let's say you go and find a mineable gold deposit that's, you know, clearly payable, is going to create jobs. There are no issues with Aboriginal heritage. They're, you know, they've got support from the local, you know, prescribed body corporates to go ahead with the mine because it's going to create employment and the like. And, you know, they're talking 6, 7, up to 10 years to develop those mines. So this, and a lot of that is the green tape, the environmental approvals. And I might say, concerns me a little bit that our local EPA seems to be developing a little world of their own in terms of taking on issues that they think they should cover under their approvals as well. So it is a big issue, and this is the role of government. I want to protect the environment. I think everyone does. I don't know any of my parliamentary colleagues who don't think that's important. But you can do that and still do approvals in a timely manner.
All right, that's the end of the questions.
Beautiful. Well, thanks very much, everyone, for listening. Hope you have a fantastic weekend. I can't say go to office. It's breaking my heart. Although, can I say go to the women's AFL Dockers team, who had a magnificent victory over the Eagles. And I watched that game and I was very impressed, and I'm very much looking forward to supporting and watching that Dockers AFL team, the women's AFL team, go forward and win the grand final. Otherwise, Hope you have a great weekend, and thanks very much for listening and asking questions.